Hello everybody, this is English for You, the program that helps you improve your English. A very warm welcome. In the studio I have two generations of Fosaco students, a young generation of two boys from the 9th grade and a not that young generation from the 12th grade. Kota, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Andrew, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Victoria, what's up?
Everything's great.
Good. What's happening, Bente?
Nothing.
Nothing much?
I'm just happy.
Good. Excellent. Today's special guest is Mr. Thomas Bogdan, who has received critical acclaim for performances in opera, oratorio, concert, recital, and cabaret. Tom teaches singing at college level, and he's been here in Hungary as a Fulbright grantee to help Trofú Kortárs Művészetek Háza Workshop Foundation to stage a performance, right? Tom, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
And we're going to have five words on the projector. And I would like you to read out those five words, would you please?
Baritone, soprano, bass, tenor, contralto.
Right, so I've already said that Tom is a singer, but we don't know anything about his voice. So which one or which ones are highly unlikely in Tom's case?
Soprano.
Yes, soprano is out, right? Which is the other one?
Contralto.
Contralto, right. So, but we still don't know whether his voice is bass, baritone, tenor, or terror. Sorry about that. So, I would like you to la 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 a little, and it's going to be your task to choose.
La 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 la.
Tenor.
Right? Excellent. Okay, fine. So, we have a tenor here in the studio, and but we still don't know where this gentleman is from. But I'm going to show you a word card, and I want everybody to say it out loud together. One, two, three.
Greenwich.
Greenwich. What comes to your mind in connection with Greenwich? Andrew.
Daylight savings time. So these time zones.
GMT, yes. Greenwich mean time. Anything else in connection with Greenwich? Where is it?
London.
London, south, an area of southeast London, and the zero meridian passes through, right? Greenwich. Would you say this, Tom?
Greenwich.
And what is your association?
I live in Greenwich Village.
Which is? Which is
Manhattan.
Here in New York. You can see part of the map of New York, Manhattan. And you can see Greenwich Village right here. And this is an old map, not very old, just I would say 5 years old, so you can see the twin towers of the World Trade Center still there. Were you there in New York on September the 11th?
No, I was teaching in Vermont at Bennington College, where I teach.
Right. And I have a poem. I found a poem in connection with Greenwich.
With Greenwich.
About a century old, and I would like to have that poem here on the projector, and I'm going to ask one of my students to read it out. It's going to come pretty soon, I hope. And Victoria, would you be so kind as to read out the poem, please?
Nobody questions your morals, and nobody asks for the rent. There is no one to pry for if we're tight, you and I, or demand how our evenings are spent.
If we are tight, it means if we are drunk. And it's a century-old poem. And at that time, bohemians, artists, painters lived there. And it was quite a lively, open atmosphere. Is it still the case in Greenwich?
I think within Manhattan, there's still a spirit of that bonhomie and exploration. Most artists can't afford to live in Manhattan
because here
now.
We can see that nobody asks for the rent. It's not
actually
true any longer, right?
No more.
It's very expensive?
Very, very expensive to live in Manhattan.
Right. In the 19th century and at the beginning of the 20th century, writers, artists went to Paris. in the second half of the 20th century, they went to New York to try out new things. Is it still the case? In other words, would artists or should artists still go to New York?
Most artists go to New York, but they have to live in Jersey City or in parts of Brooklyn.
Right. So it's still a nice place.
Yeah.
I said Mr. Thomas Bogdan, but I could have said Bogdan Tomáš.
Yeah.
Right? So what's the story with this name?
My parents were Hungarians, born in Erde, and I was born in New York in America. So, but my parents are dead 30 years, and I haven't spoken Hungarian since I'm five, a long, long time ago.
But you can still understand it.
But I'm beginning to speak Hungarian again.
Right, so we have a singer here, and I would like you to tell Tom about your favorite music. What kind of music you usually listen to? You turn on the radio, and what kind of music, Kata?
Well, it depends on my mood mostly, but I like rock music and classical, and blues.
Andrew?
I don't really listen to the radio, but I also like rock and classical music too, and perhaps some pop.
Victoria, please.
I am a fan of Gimes, which is a Hungarian band, and it plays world music, but something special inside this category.
That's
I have one of their CDs.
Oh, really? You
nice.
Like it?
Yeah,
excellent
I do.
Music.
Yeah.
Excellent
great.
Music.
Yeah.
My favorite is Guns N' Roses. I think that's the better.
Hard rock. Yeah.
The best hard rock best, music. Yeah. Tom, could you go back in time a couple of years when you were 17? What kind of music were you listening to? And here's a word card to help you. Would you say the word,
that's
please?
That's what I listen
would you,
to.
Would you say the word?
Doo-wop music.
Doo-wop. What is it?
Doo-wop music is, there's a lot of harmony with a voice singing lead. And the word doo-wop comes from one of the things that, doo-wah, 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 doo-wah. And they would sing four-part harmony to that, and someone would sing a lead on top of that.
And what or who motivated you to start learning singing?
When I was in elementary school, I had a very good soprano voice. And there was a famous boys' choir in New York City. I grew up in Jersey City, right across the river. And this boys' choir, they couldn't find many young boys anymore for this choir. So they started reaching out to other places, and the superintendent of music in schools in Jersey City, where I went, had an audition and asked me to go sing for this choir in New York. And
you never looked back?
I never looked back.
Good. Now, I've already asked you about your favorite music, but now I'm going to ask you about your favorite classical music. Maybe it's a symphony, maybe it's an art song, an opera. Kata?
I like Madame Butterfly very much, and my favorite part is the humming choir, perhaps.
Is it humming choir in English?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, good. Andrew?
Well, I really like Mussorgsky's pictures on exhibition.
Right, pictures at an exhibition, I think. Yes, Victoria?
I like the New World Symphony very much.
Dvorak?
Yeah.
Right. I'm just shining my nose. Venter, please?
I like Mozart because it's very light classical music, I think.
Good. Tom, would you sing us something traditional?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it going to be?
I'll sing a 14th century Spanish song. It's anonymous. They don't know who composed it. It's called Ay Luna Que Reluces, and it's a poem of the people going over the mountains at night, praying for the moon to light their way so that they don't fall off the mountain and can get home to their other village.
Ay Luna Que Reluces Toda la noche malumbres. Ay, luna tan bella, malumbres me a la sierra. venga toda la noche m'alumbres, toda la noche m'alumbres.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very, very beautiful. Now, we're going to jump to modern music.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have three words here. And I don't think we can talk about music after Schoenberg, Stravinsky, Bartók without these words. Could you explain to my students in simple terms what they mean?
Mm-hmm. Atonality is where pitches rub up against each other rather than lying in a simple harmonic pattern that we're used to hearing. So instead of da-da-da, we have da-da-da-da, like those three notes rubbing against each other. 12-tone serialism was a system that Schoenberg developed. There are 12 tones in an octave, including the half steps. Octave means eight, but the half steps mean that there are 12 tones in the system that we know of. And the 12-tone serialism was that they would compose pieces by taking all 12 tones and never having them follow until all 12 tones had been used.
Thank you. As simple as that?
That simple.
have you ever sung Schoenberg?
I have. I've sung 12-tone music.
Yeah. Your relation or your relationship towards these kinds of music?
At one time, I sang a lot of that music. It's very difficult to learn and very hard to hear. And I don't sing that music anymore. I don't want to sing that music anymore.
Little emotional payback?
Little emotional payback. A lot of intellectual payback.
Right. Thank you very much. We're going to have one of the CD covers of Tom's works. It's going to be, it's going to come up pretty soon. And it's going to be... before that. Right, I've forgotten to... Yes, here we go, sorry. The American Art Songs, mm-hmm. And the title, you can see Tom Bogdan here, the name, and you refer to this music as crossover music.
Mm.
What do you mean by this?
Well, I think of crossover differently. Most people think of crossover as when a popular artist or a classical artist performs the other music, like when Aretha Franklin sang Nessun Dorma. I'm sure you must have heard that. Or American artist Michael Bolton did a CD of opera arias. That's what crossover. But I think of crossover as music that new composers are writing that crosses over the boundaries of classical music and contemporary pop music so that all people find this music accessible.
Yes, and I read somewhere that you did eclectic cabarets, mm-hmm. in the 80s.
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, I would sing whatever music I liked, and I like a lot of music, so I would sing a doo-wop song, and then I'd sing a 17th century Italian aria, and then I'd sing a rock and roll song, and then I'd sing a classical aria.
Thank you. Now I'm turning to my students now. Do you know what gospel music is? Yes. Victoria, so what is it?
Gospel music is sung by Afro-American people who, these are usually religious songs, and they sing it in choirs, and it has a special atmosphere.
Right. Your definition is better than the thing I found in the dictionary, so it was really, really good. Have you ever sung gospels in cabarets, in your eclectic cabarets?
I have.
Would you please sing one of those gospels now?
I'll sing a white gospel tune for you. It's not an African-American one. This one...
White gospel?
It's a white gospel. I'll tell you the origin. It is like folk music. It came from an incident in 1860 in West Virginia. There was a mining accident in a town, and 80% of the men died in the mines. And as the women and children were carrying the bodies to the river to put them on boats, the sun was coming up. And this tune is called Bright Morning Star. So that's what it was written from. I'll sing one verse, okay?
Good.
was.
Bright morning stars arising, bright morning stars arising, bright morning stars arising, and day is breaking in my soul.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to have two words on the board. The name of a woman, and I would like you to talk about this woman and when you meet her. Right?
Meredith Monk, do you know who she is?
No.
She's an avant-garde composer. But she was one of the first people to start interdisciplinary performance, which most people now know as performance art, because she came from a background of dance and of music. So her first pieces always had dance and vocal music. And she didn't sing very well traditionally, so she explored her voice. And she was a pioneer of extended vocal technique, where she found what her voice could do rather than what the normal traditional classical vocal technique was. She also is a filmmaker, so her pieces usually include dance, drama, music, and film.
Right. I think what we would need is a demonstration of this extended vocal technique. Okay. Would you like to come to the mic?
Yeah, I will. Well, right. I'll show you one. And
is it going to be very shocking?
No.
No.
But
okay.
This, I think, you know, Meredith studied many world cultures to discover her own stuff. But one is the ululations that a lot of the women in particular of different Bedouin tribes. So that's extended, not typical. Or when. Another extended vocal technique would be Eskimo singing. Africans do that, that's click singing. Or in this piece that I'm teaching them, there's a part where it goes, shotgun vibrato.
Right. So thank you. You said it wouldn't be shocking.
Good. No.
Thank you very much. Now, we're going to have a picture. Yes, we have a picture. You can see Meredith Monk here and Ching Gonzalez. And we are going to watch this performance, which was recorded in Trofo a couple of years ago. And your task is going to be this. What's happening and what is the relation between these two people? Would you roll the tape, please?
I think they were friends and they were talking about something. Perhaps the girl was telling her problems and the boy was giving him her advice.
Right, some advice. Victoria?
This is absolutely great because they were doing a tune and it was not broken into pieces, so it was like a conversation but really harmonic. And
you enjoyed it?
Yes, it was
great.
Fun.
Great. Okay. We're going to have a picture, and I'm turning to you, Tom. The title of this piece is Magic Frequencies, And if I remember well, it's a science fiction chamber opera. Mm-hmm. So Magic Frequencies, science fiction chamber opera. Would you like to talk about this scene? So what's happening here?
Well, the Magic Frequencies, there was a scientist who found that in our regular lives, there are other frequencies that are always happening, that there could be alien life happening while we're here, but that we're not sensitive enough to experience that. So Meredith created this little scene, as you said, at a table, a normal conversation. But these people in the back are the aliens that they don't see, and the aliens are investigating what these people are doing.
Thank you. Sorry. Okay. Sorry to cut you, but you're going to see corn cobs, and we're going to listen to this piece. Just sit back and enjoy yourselves. And would you just please roll the tape? Is this Mary chomping or champing music?
Well, I think it's kind of music because it's rhythmic. There's a very specific rhythmic pattern.
They weren't improvising?
No.
No?
No.
So it wasn't improvisation?
It was not.
Good. Now, this is my problem. If I go to see a Mozart opera, I know what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. I know where to laugh. I know where to cry. I know how to behave. Mm-hmm. But if I go to a contemporary performance, I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know when to cry. I don't know if it's a cheat or it's real art. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the problem of my students too. So would you give them some advice on how to behave in a situation like this?
I think you must behave as honestly as possible. Meredith is a very serious artist, but a lot of her work has humor in it. Now, if I saw people with these aliens alone, I'd have to laugh. The fact that they're discovering corn and not knowing what it was. Unfortunately, a lot of people that come to contemporary art think it's very high art. A lot of it's very funny, you know, because there's humor in that.
And if you don't like it, you just leave?
Yeah, or you can just leave, or you can...
Should you boo and hiss?
I think so, if you want. But
it's not too nice, right?
You must really, really not like it in order to boo or hiss. But I've booed or hissed once in my life.
When was it?
For Les Miserables.
You didn't like Les Miserables? You know Les Miserables. It was very boring, right?
I didn't like it.
Interesting. I love that. But
I know. Most people loved it. It was very popular.
Good. A celebration service. You are here to help Mühe Alapítvány, Workshop Foundation, to stage this. Mm-hmm. Would you tell my students what it's going to be?
Yeah. Meredith was asked to create a spiritual service, and she'd always wanted to do that. But so she took music that she had already written from other pieces, but pieces that had spiritual significance to her, and they're all choruses. So she made a chorus of 10 people, and she connected the pieces by having two people act as celebrants of this service. But the service is non-denominational. There's no particular religion. The people have readings from many religions. There's Native American readings, ancient Jewish readings, Christian readings, Zen Buddhism. And it's more about the nature of humanity and celebrating our humanity.
Does this performance have words?
The words will be spoken by the celebrants, but Meredith doesn't generally write words in her pieces.
Right, and when is the first night going to be?
It's going to be April 14th at Trafo at 8 o'clock. April 14th.
Do you think we should go?
You must go.
This is a must?
Yes. Or you're welcome to come to one of the workshops if you want.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure.
And it's been really very interesting. And see you next time. It's going to be English for you again. Bye for now.
A bombát távvezérlő hozta működésbe, a mechanizmus egyszerű, de rendkívül hatékony.
Vagyis tudniuk kellett, hogy a vonádnál nem én ülök.
Megint telefonált Vanni. Azt mondja, ez a gyönge láncem. Főleg egy olyan valakivel szemben, mint ez a nekivadult parancsnok.
Na jó, adjunk neki munkát. Ráadásul olyat, hogy hülyét csináljon magából.
Ezt megkaptuk. Most aztán ez a második szál is el van vágva.
Én két hónapja keresek valami összefüggést ebben a sztoriban.
Rokká parancsnok. A történet folytatódik. Minden hétköznap az M2-n. Weber Gábor. Autóversenyző, szakértő. Versenyben vagyunk. Forma 1. Március 18-ától az M1-en és a Kossuth Rádióban.